Hello and welcome into Army Radio. Today is the Bryson Bechtold's Baseball Breakdown, show number 4. Today I'm your host, Nathan Breisinger. I'm riding solo today without Austin Bechtold on the show. We're going to look at around a half hour show, maybe more than that, just how things go. We will look at several different things regarding the MLB postseason, the ALCS, the NLCS. We will talk about, I wanted to touch on David Freese retiring, former Pirate. I want to touch on also the Pirates' current managerial state and who they're looking at as their candidates. And then we will have our usual this date in baseball history and more. So today, to start off, I want to touch on the MLB postseason, talk about what is going on there. And let's start with the Washington Nationals and the St. Louis Cardinals. What a series it has been so far. The Nationals currently with a stranglehold 2-0 going back to Washington in that series. Two great games when it comes to pitching. Unbelievable starts for the Nationals starters there. In game one, Anibal Sanchez, 7 2/3 innings pitched. No earned runs, 5 strikeouts. He truly dominated, took a no-hitter late into his start there. He pitched unbelievable against a Cardinals team that has been potent and put up a ton of first-inning runs against Atlanta and Game 5 in Atlanta versus the Braves. And Anibal Sanchez just sort of came in and shut them down. And then Sean Doolittle came in and pitched the remainder of the game. And the Nationals only using 2 pitchers in the Game 1. That is a big bonus for them because, honestly, their bullpen isn't very good. And to use your starting pitcher as much as they can to get him deep into the games is a big bonus for this Nationals team against a Cardinals team that can hit the ball. And Sanchez shut down the Cardinals offense from getting anything going, really. I mean, nobody really registering a hit for the Cardinals, 1 hit overall, and that was from Jose Martinez off the bench for the Cardinals. Throughout the lineup, Dexter Fowler strikeout, Marcell Ozuna strikeout, Paul DeJong 2 strikeouts. Nobody's getting a chance to get on base as Anibal Sanchez took care of the Cardinals lineup through game one. And then for the Nationals, their bats, 10 hits. Nothing too spectacular. They put up 2 runs on the board. Howie Kendrick, another RBI. Carlos Gomez, or Yan Gomes, my bad. An RBI for the Nationals. But speaking of Howie Kendrick, a guy who has been playing really just to another level for this Nationals team. The huge go-ahead grand slam in Game 5 versus the Dodgers, putting the Nationals into the National League Championship Series. He's been huge for them so far. He was 2-for-4 in Game 1 with that one of those RBIs, and he also registered a walk. He has been a guy that has come up clutch in several situations so far this year. He struggled a little bit in the field. He has a few errors, but he's made up with the bat. I mean, there's going to be no bigger hit in this postseason or maybe in Nationals postseason history than that Howie Kendrick Grand Slam, finally getting over the hump of the National League Divisional Series, which they just couldn't get over, finally, and beating the best team in the National League and the Dodgers, and a team that everybody just predicted to go to the World Series just because of the caliber of players they had, the pitching, the starting pitching in Walker Buehler, and so on. I mean, and then you bring in actually a guy for the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw, who's been your ace for years and years. And he lets up that grand slam, or lets up the 2 tying runs to make it 3-3 before Joe Kelly comes in and lets up the grand slam to Howie Kendrick. Solo shot for Rendon and then Juan Soto to tie the things up for the Nationals in that Game 5. But Game 1 belonged to the Nationals on a dominant pitching performance to Anibal Sanchez. And then in Game 2, just about the same. Nationals come out on top 3-1. And another dominant pitching performance. Max Scherzer this time on the mound. 7 innings pitched. No earned runs. 11 strikeouts. This guy, coming into the postseason, a lot of people had a lot of hopes for him. Going into the wild card game, he struggled a little bit. Starting off, he let up the home run to Yasmani Grandal. But he bounced back. He sort of kept the Nationals in the game for Juan Soto to come in and drive in those three big runs that gave the Nationals the lead in that wild card game against the Milwaukee Brewers. But Scherzer has been one of the best pitchers so far this postseason. And he gave them a chance to win once again, you know, going 7 strong for the Nationals. And in the postseason so far, he's 2-0 and a 1.8 ERA. He has been spectacular. 27 strikeouts. This guy is a strikeout machine. And a lot of the pitchers in the postseason this year have been strikeout machines. I mean, we talk about Gerrit Cole down in Houston. Strikeout after strikeout. A lot of guys on this national squad that is throwing strikeouts. Steven Strasburg, one of them in particular. These guys are throwing strikes, and they're getting the batters out that they need to get, the clutch batters. And so far, the Nats are up 2-0 thanks to strong starting pitching. And we haven't even seen guys like Steven Strasburg or Patrick Corbin yet in the starting rotation for the Nationals. That will come up in Game 3 and Game 4 for the Nats. But Max Scherzer, for years, has just been a dominant pitcher. In the postseason, he has a 3.3 ERA overall through his postseason career. He's experienced. He knows how to get it done. And he's finally giving the Nationals a chance to compete and potentially play in the World Series, as the Nationals are looking good right now and could potentially find themselves in the World Series. As on the other hand, for the Cardinals, they're down 2-0, but I still give the Cards a chance. I've mentioned in weeks past in this show about our postseason predictions. I have the Nationals going to the World Series. They were my underdog team, and so far they are showing that they might get to the World Series with how they're playing as of now. But I don't think the Cardinals are going to go down easy. I don't think it's going to be 4 games. I don't think it's going to be 5 games. As of now, I think the Cardinals will bounce back. I still see it going potentially 6 or 7. The Cardinals are just too good of a team. They have a lot of experience. You got guys like Yadier Molina and Matt Carpenter and guys in that lineup like Dexter Fowler. All those guys, I know they don't want to be done this quickly to a team that, to be honest, probably should have never won that wild card game and probably shouldn't be right now in this series with them. And right now they're up 2-0 against the Cards. But in Game 3, the Cardinals are sending out Jack Flaherty, their young stud. So far this postseason is 1-1, 2.77 ERA, 16 strikeouts. He's a guy that they're going to have to look for to have a huge game for them to win heading back into Washington. Jack Flaherty just needs to show his stuff like he's been showing all year. He was an 11-8 in the regular season, 2.75 ERA. He had a great stretch run down in the end of the year, putting up, I believe, a sub-1 ERA heading into the postseason throughout August and September. This guy has been their top ace, and he's a young guy, 23 years old. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him to get this team back into this series coming into Game 3, because Game 3 is pivotal. If you go down 3-0 and you're the Cardinals, good luck. It just doesn't happen. Not many teams come back from that far down to merely even make it a series in itself, but to win the series, that's just going to be so hard to do. There's not really much of a chance for the Cardinals to do so. But this Game 3 relies a lot on Jack Flaherty. The hitting just has to get going for the Cardinals. I mean, throughout the series, no one has been able to get going whatsoever. Goldschmidt hasn't been able to swing for the fences at all. Colton Wong, he's, I believe, hitless so far this series. So those type of guys, they need to get going for them in order for them to even get back into the series. Down 2-0, going back to Nationals Park with their fans. I mean, they're going to be amped up and ready to go because they've seen some incredible postseason baseball right now. And for the Nationals to beat the Dodgers, that's a huge momentum builder, and they've fed off of it for sure. I talked about it in the past show and actually in our Friday show, Baldwin and the Berg. But the Nationals right now just have it going for them. And starting pitching has been the key. Steven Strasburg on the mound for them. He's 2-0 in the postseason so far in three games, three appearances, 2.40 ERA, 21 strikeouts, and 15 innings. Again, a guy that's throwing for strikes, a guy that's striking out the batters when he needs to. He's coming up clutch in a lot of situations for this National Ball Club, giving them a chance to win in and out. And so that wraps up right now in the National League Championship Series. The Nationals are up 2-0 currently. Now let's slide over to, I think, a much more competitive series in the ALCS, the Yankees and the Astros. The Yankees obliterated the Astros in Game 1. Didn't really give them much of a chance. 7-0 your final there. Everybody in the lineup for the Yankees were hitting. DJ LeMahieu, a guy that just shocks me. I mean, he comes into New York this year and just really lights it up there. 26 homers and 102 RBIs, batting .327. I mean, this guy really just put on a year for the Yankees. I mean, last year he only batted 200. No, that's not correct. Last year for the Colorado Rockies, wasn't as good as he is now. I mean, something changed when he headed into the Bronx for him, and he's helping the Yankees, you know, get to where they need to get going. I mean, the series is tied up after Game 2, but that first game, I mean, sort of an eye-opener for Houston fans and the league, because honestly, a lot of people, and me and Austin both thought that this Astros team wasn't going to run away with this series, but they're the team to beat. They have the best overall team. Everything about them is just so good. Pitching, defense, hitting. They hit for average. They get on base. They score when they need to score. They're a smart baseball team. They do the little things right. They just win ball games. That's what they do. That's what the Astros do. The Yankees, they rely on that power. They just do. And the Yanks really have been relying on Gleyber Torres for them. He had a huge game one for the Yanks. He went 3-for-5. 5 ribbies for him. He had a home run as well there. Again, this whole lineup, just different guys popping up out of nowhere, producing for this Yankees team. Still guys like Giancarlo Stanton. He had an RBI in game one. Aaron Judge was 2-for-5. There's different guys throughout this lineup also have been putting up great stats, great stat numbers through game one. Game two was a little bit of a different story for the Yankees as they dropped that game in 11, 3-2. Astros had a much better performance in this time, especially coming out of the hand of Justin Verlander on the mound. He pitched 6 2/3 innings, only let up 5 hits, 2 earned runs. He strikes out 7, gives up a homer to Aaron Judge. But the Astros did a great job bouncing back when they needed to bounce back. And the Yankees, I mean, they could have won up 2-0 heading back to the Bronx, and then that's the same situation like in the NLCS. There's not a chance. I mean, there's a chance, but the Yankees going back into the Bronx, oh, good luck. That place is always energetic. The Yankees feed off that crowd. I don't think there's another crowd in baseball, another atmosphere in baseball that's better than Yankee Stadium in the postseason. They're just loud. They erupt. They go crazy. They call it the Bronx Zoo out in the outfield just because it's insane seeing home runs fly out of there and seeing that atmosphere just go insane for the Yankees. But big game for the Astros to bounce back. Talk about Carlos Correa, 2-for-5. He has your walk off in the 11th, and we're gonna head to the call of the game, that the home run from Carlos Correa that walked it off.
Correa ends it. series is tied at a game apiece.
That is the call from Houston. Carlos Correa again walking it off in the 11th inning for the Houston Astros. That comes off of that homer comes off of J. Happ. Carlos Correa knew it was out once it left the bat. To that right field porch, sort of a short porch out there in Houston, he just crushes it. That this series is tied at one now, thanks to Carlos Correa here in Game 2. Again, another little bit of a pitcher's duel here for Justin Verlander. Once again, a reasonable start. He's showed his promises throughout the postseason with his several starts. He is 1-1 so far. And with 3.12 ERA, but he has 20 strikeouts. And then, again, this Astros pitching rotation is just unreal. You throw out guys like Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke. Every start for them, you easily have a chance to win just because of your pitching. And we've talked about it so many times on this show. Just teams that win postseason games are because of their starting pitching. And, yeah, they have a decent bullpen to go along with it. Again, guys like guys like Roberto Osuna and Will Harris, different guys in the back end, have helped them succeed so far in this postseason. But that starting pitching, when it gets going, good luck stopping them. Gerrit Cole, we saw a postseason high for the Astros last series versus the Rays in strikeouts. They just pitch very well. Gerrit Cole hits 100. Justin Verlander, very good with his command. It's hard to stop this team and to hit against them when you have to put out guys like that. But if there's any team that can beat them, it's this Yankees team with the hitting that they have. They have the right guys in the lineup. DJ LeMahieu, you know, a guy that's going to get on base for, you know, your guys at the 3-4 hole, and Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge, guys that are going to hit that long ball for you. The Yankees are a perfect counter for the Astros if there is anybody in the league. And it's going to be a great series. The series is going the distance. It has to. I don't see it going any shorter. I don't know who would win if it goes any shorter. This series goes the distance. I would say the Astros do come up on the upper hand just because they're pitching, just because they do the little things to win. And when guys like Carlos Correa step up and guys like Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, so many guys in this lineup are just studs. They're straight up studs for this ball club, and it's just hard to compete against them. And winning the World Series 2 years ago, I see them winning it this year. I think they beat the Yankees in 7, but this series is going to be fun to watch. Going into Game 3, your starters are Gerrit Cole for the Astros, 2-0 this postseason, a .57 ERA. Doesn't get too much better than that. 25 strikeouts. He has just been unstoppable. And a former Pirate, of course, we love to rip on the former Pirates that go on and to be spectacular for other teams. And Gerrit Cole is just one of them. And just a guy that's been unreal to watch. It's almost a game to watch for anyone. If you want to go watch a good baseball game, you watch the games that Gerrit Cole is going to pitch, because he's going to put on a spectacular performance each game for the Astros. And then on the mound for the Yankees, you have Luis Severino, who's been hurt, was out a majority of the season this year. He's come in on one start for the Yanks so far this postseason. He pitched pretty well there. This is going to be a matchup that I don't know if this is going to favor in the Yankees' favor. I think the Astros get early on them and quiet that crowd there at Yankee Stadium. And I don't see the Yankees really having control of this game. I think the Astros go up early and don't look back. I think one guy that's going to step up is your veteran experience in Jose Altuve, who's going to give you maybe a home run or a big-time hit to score in a run or two early in this game, within the first 3 innings, and you're going to take out the crowd, and it's going to be hard. Once Gerrit Cole gets going, he's going to be hard to hit against, and then you bring in your guys in the back end, Osuna, to shut down the game. And I think the Yanks lose this one. This game three matchup, Gerrit Cole, I think it's just too hard to hit against. When he's throwing up in the hundreds, good luck. I mean, if Giancarlo Stanton and Judge can, you know, catch up to that fastball and take him yard, then this game might be different. But I just don't see it for the Yankees. And I just see the Astros taking game three here. I'm going to maybe give it like a 5-1 score. I think the Yankees might score late in the game, but not against Gerrit Cole. I think he goes seven strongs, no earned runs, maybe a two or three hits, but the Astros win this game. So just looking at the overall postseason so far, it's been such an interesting one. You've had your Nationals that beating the Dodgers that was not expected, and the way it happened where the Dodgers were up and the Nationals just so typically choke in the postseason. They don't. They stay in the game. They stay within reach. You know, clutch hits from Anthony Rendon, Juan Soto, a young stud for that ball club, coming up big. And then Howie Kendrick, the veteran experience out of him, just been so clutch for that Nationals team. But speaking of the Dodgers, they are done this postseason. And a guy that is also done that I wanted to talk about and mention is David Freese. David Freese retires after 11 seasons. This guy has been around Major League Baseball, several different teams, the Pirates, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, St. Louis Cardinals, where he was clutch in so many ways, had a big clutch home run there in the World Series versus the Rangers a few years back. But you just lose a good baseball mind with losing Freeze to retirement. But he's done his time. He's paid his dues where he's performed in big-time games. He came into touching on the Pirates. He came in having that veteran experience. At first, he was okay. He wasn't great. He wasn't bad. And at first, I wasn't too sold on the guy. I knew he was coming in with that veteran experience and potentially, you know, a good bat. But at first, he really didn't show it. And then finally, you know, it started turning around for him. He was a big clutch hitter for the Pirates, off the bench especially. But he it's a tough loss for the league. I mean, he was a good player. He's a good soul. He's a guy that tried to amp up that Pirates clubhouse when it just wasn't looking so good the past few years. And he's a guy that, you know, the Dodgers lose out on, that he provides that veteran experience bat, where maybe they're a little bit of on the younger side of in terms of batting and fielding and the guys in their lineup with Bellinger and Jock Peterson and younger talent there. Freeze really could have helped there, but retiring after 11 seasons for him, he's had one heck of a journey. But for the Pirates, he helped in several different ways, you know, providing that veteran experience and, you know, coming up clutch in a lot of different ways for the Pirates. He was 36 currently as he hangs up the shoes. So he has had one heck of a career, and he will be surely missed within the league. And that is that. And now I want to move into, it's usually Austin's segment, but I am going to take this one. This day in baseball history. And on today in 2015, October 14th, we look at Jose Bautista caps off the series versus Texas Rangers in the ALCS, or to advance to the ALCS. They defeat the Rangers 6-3. And a game five that Toronto takes. It was obviously well known for Jose Bautista's bat flip. Everybody remembers this game, and we will go ahead and take a listen to this home run in a few seconds when it gets loaded. But this really just took the hearts out of the Texas Rangers. This was almost like a rivalry series. I mean, these teams were going really at it, and Jose Bautista just sends the dagger in the side of the Texas Rangers. So let's go ahead and take a listen to the call from that game. Jose Bautista's bat flip home run versus the Texas Rangers.
So long, and it's gonna burn you. No doubt about it.
Oh, one of the best postseason moments in baseball history. That is on this date, October 14th. Just watching that gives me the chills. I watch that highlight all the time. Jose Bautista. Those fans up in Toronto are crazy, and it takes me to the point that postseason baseball, Austin loves to talk about it, it definitely has to have one of the best atmospheres in all of sports. Yes, regular season baseball can be quite boring, but when it comes to the postseason, it is one to watch. It is exciting. It is energetic. Talk about the different atmospheres throughout the league. This year, the Nationals ballpark, they have one heck of an atmosphere. Houston with the train after the home runs, that place orange, it's incredible. The Yankees, Yankee Stadium is just extremely crazy. They go insane there. Home runs in the postseason. They have a great fan base there. They support their ball club well, and they love their home runs when that ball flies out of there. They get going, and it's one to watch. But just overall, MLB postseason is so fun to watch just because of the atmosphere. When you get a pitcher that gets going, it's fun to watch along, and it's just so fun. And then when you look at hometown, the Pittsburgh Pirates, when they were in the postseason, the blackout, it doesn't get much better than that. Everyone was excited for those games, the wild cards, the NLDS versus the Cardinals. Everybody was up and ready. Everybody wakes up every day, you know, so excited in the town, whether you're going, whether you're not, whether you're watching it, whether you can't. This town is, when it comes to the Pirates winning, this town is a baseball town, and there's a lot of people that, you know, stuck around since, you know, through the 20 years. Yeah, they've lost maybe a lot of fans through those losing seasons, but there's a lot of people that still watch, a lot of older people that once they start winning again, they come around. This team, I think, again, it would still be the same way. If they get hit the postseason again, this city's going to erupt. And we're just waiting for a chance to at least be a World Series or a championship for the Pirates soon. Because this town's ready for a baseball championship. This town gets behind his baseball team when they start winning. The blackout is insane. I mean, you have your Jolly Rogers waving. You have the towels waving. A sea of black. You got the chance of Cueto going. It's unreal. And the baseball postseason atmosphere is not like any other. I mean, the one I can attest to would be a hockey NHL postseason. I mean, NFL, I don't know. NFL is just, I feel like, merely, to be honest, in the entertainment factor, especially when it goes into the Super Bowl, it's not much about the atmosphere. It's about entertainment and who's going to be performing at halftime and what are the commercials going to be like. Everybody just goes to so they can post it on social media. But I feel like baseball and hockey, especially baseball, whenever the postseason comes around, people, it's just not like any other type of postseason out there. People are just energized. They are hyped about the baseball teams. Yes, baseball can be a very boring sport, but when it comes to the postseason, it is just amazing to watch and amazing to get behind a team that's being successful in your hometown. Hopefully the Pirates will get back there at some point, just hopefully. And speaking of the Pirates, they are still relevant in the news as they are still in search for their next manager. There's been several names floating around there, but one that's going to be taken off the list that I really thought would be a nice person to throw in there because just of his youthfulness was Carlos Beltran. He says he would really only want to stick with the New York Mets in a report that came out recently. But there's still several other guys. There's been talks. Jeff Bannister has been up there in talks with the Pirates. He might be a lead running candidate for the job, but different guys along the list. Derek Shelton, Austin loves to touch on him, Twins bench coach. They think he could potentially be a top candidate for the Pirates. He's also been looked at by the Mets. He worked in Cleveland. He worked with Neil Huntington up there. He has a little bit of a connection, but Pirates, I mean, the Twins were a good team this year. Derek Shelton had a big part in that. Wouldn't it be a horrible addition to the team? I mean, be much better than what Clint Hurdle was giving them. And I just think my biggest thing about Clint Hurdle is I think he was here too long, just a little bit too long. He signed that extension in 2017, which was just so unnecessary in a time that they were not even winning. They weren't in the postseason. They were 2 years out of that. I was just shocked by the move that they made to do that. And I think Hurdle was around just a little too long. I mean, looking at a team that still has relatively a lot of talent, and when you're not developing guys like Tyler Glasnow and Garrett Cole into their full potential, and then they move on, and they're playing in postseason baseball, throwing 100 miles an hour, and people are like, wow, look at these two guys that are pitching unbelievable in the postseason. Let's take a look at them. Oh, they both used to play for the Pittsburgh Pirates? Come on. I mean, that's horrible development on the part of Clint Hurdle and Ray Searage, where they were talented in the farm system. Tyler Glasnow came up a very big prospect, and just he comes up here and he couldn't hit the strike zone, and he was pitching subpar and was doing bad to an extent that was just, I mean, it was time for him to get traded. But then now he's down in Tampa Bay just performing like none other. He's their top ace. He's the guy they really relied on besides Charlie Morton in the postseason. Yes, he couldn't come up and beat the Astros, but when you're facing a team like the Houston Astros, I mean, you have to have your best stuff, and he just didn't. But he's him, Austin Meadows, and I mean, putting up some great numbers this year for the Tampa Bay Rays. It was finally time to get rid of Clint Hurdle and Ray Searage, as they just continued to not be able to develop their players into the way they should have. And now they're on the search. Derek Shelton, again, a guy that's up there. Jeff Bannister, I mentioned before. But hopefully this comes to a close soon, so Pittsburgh knows who their manager for the next season is. Hopefully they find the right candidate. But I think it's just important for the Pirates to get a new name in there, hopefully rejuvenate this team. Because, again, they have some good pieces. I really like the guys they have throughout their lineup. Starling Marte put up great numbers this year. Josh Bell putting up his best numbers so far this year. Brian Reynolds is a young guy, along with Kevin Newman, who impressed throughout the season, both batting above 300 for the Pirates. And they have a lot of pieces that if they can turn their pitching around and get the correct bullpen arms in there, losing Felipe Vasquez is huge because he was your top guy in that bullpen. Losing him is tough, and they have to find a guy that can replace him, and hopefully they can do that. Hopefully they can shore things up in that bullpen just to get them good enough that they're going to be able to hold on to games and not blow them. I mean, just I think I was at two of the first three home games versus the Cardinals, and they were up both. The Pirates were up in both of those games, the home opener, and I think maybe it was the first two games I was at. And then the second game, they were up again. And then here comes their bullpen arms in, and was talked about before the season that the bullpen was going to be the best part of their team. Once again, nope, that did not happen. And they, Pirates, end up losing both of those games. And it's just, what are they doing out there that, you know, why are they just so bad? And then it also, their starting pitching just was, again, quite awful. I mean, a guy that you need to rely on, and Chris Archer just, I mean, you traded a bunch of big-time pieces, like I mentioned before, in Glasnow and Meadows and Shane Baz in the minor league. You trade some big pieces for them, for Chris Archer, and he's just come in here and been abysmal so far to his start here in Pittsburgh. He had a 5.5 5.19 ERA. It's just unreal how bad he was this year. He let up 25 long balls. And I still think there's potential. I think there's still time to turn around. I never give up hope too early on players, whether they have a bad season or whatnot, that they can bounce back from that. I mean, look at Kevin Newman. Kevin Newman came up last year, did not have a very good season. He comes into this year much better. He's basically starting every single game at short for now. Maybe he'll take over. Maybe they'll shift him over to second base instead of Adam Frazier and make Adam Frazier just your utility guy, throw him out in the outfield and back up in the infield. But Kevin Newman this year had an outstanding year for the Pirates. I liked what he did in a lot of ways. He batted 308. He 12 homers and 64 RBIs. He was a guy I think he's going to be a key part of this team. I know Reynolds is a big part, but if there's a guy in this lineup I think that's huge in my terms, in my eyes, is Kevin Newman, who, if he can get going in just different ways, defensively, offensive production, he's going to be huge for this team moving forward in the lineup and defensively. But I think it just all relies on pitching, and if the Pirates just can't get that pitching going, then there's going to be another, below 70, subpar 70 win seasons again, another losing year, and I don't think fans want to do this any longer. I mean, you look inside the stadium, you're only getting 9,000 fans there a game. Come on now, like, what is going on? You just got to turn things around. I hope the new manager that comes in, whether it's Shelton, Jeff Banister, or another name, if it's a young guy, if there's still guys, if Raul Banias is still in the conversation for the managerial position, if they realize that they need to just get this fan base back on board in some way, shape, or form. Because once this fan base gets behind this team and the team starts winning, it's a baseball town. It just is. They'll fill up the stadium. It's a nice ballpark. And it's just sad seeing it empty, one of the nicest ballparks in the league. And the Pirates just have not done too much about it to fill it up and put a team on the field that's going to win you games. And the pitching, once again, they had the guys, but, I mean, Clint Hurdle and Ray Sears just couldn't really get them to where they needed to be this year. And you look at the teams in the postseason, and pitching wins you games. I mean, the Astros, three aces, straight-up aces. They went out and got Greinke. They got Cole, and they developed him into an ace. Yeah, he was a good pitcher here in Pittsburgh, but they developed him to, a number one on literally every team besides the Astros, as they have Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke, all number one caliber pitchers. It's just unreal. But you have to have pitching to win ball games, and the Pirates don't have that right now. And every team basically still left in the postseason does. So just to wrap things up, the postseason is going to continue to just get so much better. The World Series is going to be one for the ages once again. No matter who goes in there, if the Cardinals go back, they've appeared every once in a while in the World Series throughout this decade. To see the Nationals for the first time would be interesting. To see them go up against a team, whether it's the Yankees or the Astros, in that sense. But this postseason is going to continue to get better. We'll have to see how the managerial position, works out for the Pirates. But a lot to just talk about. Next week we'll be on air. Hopefully Austin will be back with me. But this wraps things up here in the studio for Army Radio. This is the Bryce and Bechtel Baseball Breakdown, show number 4. The game tonight to watch out for is the Nationals and the Cardinals at the Nationals, game 3 coming up in the postseason, the NLCS. Everyone have a good one. For Army Radio, I'm Nathan Bryce here. Have a good one.